In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to look now at a very interesting feast day. It's the anniversary of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. And there's an interesting, for instance, in the Wikipedia, there are other places too, where the history of this basilica comes from the Greek word basileus, king or emperor. And it's brought to our mind to help us think about ourselves, our reality as church, and our goal for eternal life. So it's a very joyful, as is the anniversary of the local diocesan cathedral. For reasons I'm going to try to explain now, it's a very symbolic but very real thing. First, then, I want to talk about how the city, and therefore the building in the city, is a symbol of the heavenly city. The hymn for the dedication of a church is called Urbs Jerusalem Beata, Blessed City, Jerusalem. Now, that's very interesting. You see that when the church, when the believers reflect on their union with God forever, it's always in a communal context. They just can't picture themselves being all alone there with God. The union with God is ineffable, but it's not singular. We form a heavenly city, of which Jerusalem can be a model. It's not quite that right now, but the dedication of a church is a time when we reflect on the communal dimension of eternal beatitude. And so this hymn, Urb Jerusalem Beata, Dicta Pacis Visio, Quae Construitur in Cedis Vivis Ex Lapidibus, which is sung at Vespers, at least, on the anniversary of a dedication of a church. And this one, you see, is the mother church in this sense, not St. Peter's, though St. Peter's is more important in many other ways administratively. If you want to really get some, this basilica is the oldest and ranks first among the four papal basilicas, or major basilicas of Rome. This is the church, and is dedicated to St. John the Baptist. So, this is an occasion to reflect on heaven, and on community, and on what makes happiness. Is happiness greater when it's shared? Yes. So to share the joy of being, you know, part of the whole building that houses God for all eternity is an incredible joy. And it points out again, as I said, that human beatitude is communal. It's not just individual. Of course it's individual, but it's deeper and more vibrant because it's shared. So let's look first at part of this hymn. I have a very hoarse voice. Maybe that spares you. But try to get a record or a CD or something and listen to this music, because it's very haunting, very beautiful. Urb Jerusalem beata dicta pacis visio. I don't have a voice, I can't go on. Quae construitur in cedis vivis ex lapidibus. O blessed Jerusalem, called the vision of peace, built in heaven from living stones, and crowned by angels as a spouse already committed to her bridegroom. Huh? And then it goes on, you see, the city comes from heaven. It is the bridal suite of God, if you will. It is joined to God in a marital embrace, if you will. And her streets and walls are of purest gold. He's trying to strike this image of what it's like to be with God in a city where everyone is just so overwhelmed with love for God and rejoicing in God and rejoicing to be with us. It's a citta, it's a city. And it's a great meditation. When we think about it, if I was the only one in heaven, it would be beautiful, and the depth would be there. Is there more depth when there's more people? No, but there's more extension. If I'm all alone in heaven, but if I'm with millions of people sharing my joy, we're singing and dancing and praising and loving and being friends, that's what the visio pacis is, you see, the vision of peace. And so it goes on to say the gates are resplendent with pearls, and it's made. Those are the virtues and the merits of all who, by the name of Christ, now are rewarded here in heaven. Millions of us. Oh, pray we get there. And this is the, this is the dedication of a church is meant to give us this sense. Heaven is a sacred place. It's not just me talking to God, it's with everybody else. Does that mean that it's a deeper joy? Well, the deepest part of the joy is union with God forever. But it does mean that it's more widespread. There's more of it. It's like if I paint the wall blue and paint it again the same color blue, it's not going to get any deeper. But if I go on to paint the whole room blue, there's more of it. So the joy is already ineffable. But there's more of it, and that increases the joy, because there's millions of us with God forever. And that's why this is a feast day. And this is the oldest and chief basilica of Rome, even though it's not in the Vatican City. This is beautiful, this. Tuncionibus presuris expolite lapides. By pressure and by rubbing against one another, the stones are expoliti. They're made to fit, put where they belong. And then finally, glory and honor to God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the flame of the Spirit, by whom prayers and power are everywhere forever. Amen. And so you see, it's this hymn. Whenever, because we used to sing these, and this is a haunting, I wish I had a voice, this is a haunting melody. Urbs Jerusalem Beata. Ticta pacis visio. That whole notion of a vision of peace is talking about heaven and about the heavenly city. You see, biblically, God's people can't think of heaven as being just me and God. It's got to be we and God. And rejoicing at everybody else's joy, but never in a way that distracts us from our central joy, which is union with God. And so, heaven is portrayed here and in the Apocalypse, in New Jerusalem. It's a city. It's not a hermitage. It's a city with lots of people and full of song and joy and friendship. Friendship. Forever. And so, when we commemorate this consecration of the Lateran Basilica, which is the first, is the oldest and ranks first among the basilica in Rome. And we rejoice in this because it is an expression of the culmination of God's plan. When you get to the last chapter of the book of the Apocalypse, you have the same thing again. In fact, I might just read a little bit of it for you. From the book of Revelation, of course. One of the seven angels that had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to speak to me and said, "Come here, and I will show you the bride that the Lamb has married." And in the Spirit he took me to the top of an enormous high mountain and showed me Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven. It had all the radiant glory of God and glittered like some precious jewel of crystal clear diamond. The walls of it were of great height and had 12 gates. Each of the 12 gates there was an angel, and over the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. On the east there were three, on the north three, on the south three, on the west three. The city walls stood on 12 foundation stones, each one of which bore the name of one of the apostles of the Lamb. You get the idea? It's a city, but it's a city that's a community. And that's heaven. Now, what we share is what God gives us. That is, an undying, unshakable, unlosable union with Him forever. Yearn for heaven. It'll keep you out of sin. So if we take this whole vision, what do we see, huh? This vision as it is in Ezekiel, It's all about this water, flowing water is so precious in that part of the world. And so it's all that going on. That water is so beautiful and so life-giving. And along the banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fall. Every month they will bear fresh fruit, for they will be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. That water comes from the very presence of God and cannot but be life-giving. And so that is the life-giving water that we live by forever in heaven. It's the very life of God Himself. Amen.